Okay. Let me ask again. How many of you have an NIV Bible? NIV version? Just a few of you. Okay. ESV? Just one? Huh?
New Living Translation?
New Living? Okay. New King James, which is what I usually read out of. Okay, I see 4 or 5. Okay. I know you have ASV. Seems like we got just about every version imagined. Okay, I'll be reading out of the NIV. Okay. And the slides up on the board, they'll be NIV. But if I find out more people have the New King James, I'll switch to the New King James. Okay, we're going to begin what I think you'll find is a very inspiring study. It'll be challenging, but it'll be inspiring. The book of Isaiah, there are more prophecies about Christ in it than any other of the prophets. The New Testament makes reference to Isaiah more than any other prophet. And there's also many scriptures that are inspiring. Okay. Before we get into it, let's start with a word of prayer, though. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this morning and thankful that you have brought us together. We thank you for the Bible and the book of Isaiah and all the truth and that it gives us and all the inspiration that it provides. We pray that you be with us as we study this morning. We pray for our children and grandchildren. Be with them in their study. Be with our elders and be with all our teachers. Be with the leaders of our country. And may they do the things that will bring us closer to you. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us where we failed you and watch over us, continue to provide for us. And all this we ask in your Son's name, amen. Okay, you can look at your handout and you can. Much of what we're going to say will be either on your handout or on the slide that I'll be turning to. Let's start with why we should study the book, why we should study Isaiah. Okay. This is from a study guide that I found online. I've been using it several years, and I found it very useful, this website. Okay. And he's got a study about Isaiah, and this is what he says on why we should study the book. First of all, it increases our faith in Jesus as the Messiah. This is one reason messianic prophecies that were fulfilled in him. Okay. Isaiah prophesies quite a bit about Jesus. That's what that tells us. Second, it strengthens hope in God as the one who is ultimately in control of all things and will bring his purposes to pass. Everything that Isaiah prophesies, it comes about. It happens, just as he says it. Next, it inspires love for God and his Messiah as one reason the blessings to be found in obedience to God's word. And then he says, it enlarges understanding as to how God ruled in the nations of men in the past, and how Christ may exercise his rule in the nations today. Does God rule today? Yes, he does, just as he did back then. Okay. And all that is from Mark Copeland's study guide, and you can find that online if you're curious. Executable outlines. Went too far. Okay. And this is one, this is my, from me. Okay. In the book of Isaiah are many inspiring scriptures. I found many inspiring scriptures. Notice what it says. For some reason, this is not working. But notice what it says. But for those who hope in the Lord and renew their strength, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You've heard that before, haven't you? You've heard that many times before. 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. I'm sure you've heard that one. And here's one that's my personal favorite. 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Okay. Those are all inspiring scriptures from Isaiah. And you know as well as I do, there are many more. Many inspiring scriptures in the book of Isaiah. There's a chapter that I encourage you to read as well. Isaiah 25. Okay, when you get a chance to read Isaiah 25, you'll be glad you did. Okay. Clicker's on, but it's not working. Okay. Can you advance to the next slide? I'm going to keep having Randy get up and down. Keep you busy this morning, Randy. It says it's on. Okay, there it went. It's just the guy who operated. Yeah. Operator error. It's
that
this one, isn't it?
Forward and that one's backwards.
Okay. Okay. All right. This is also on your handout, but it's information about Isaiah. Isaiah was the son of Amos, who was the brother of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah. Isaiah was married and had two sons, Shear Jashab and something. And Isaiah's name means the Lord saves. Okay. We'll talk about his sons later because those names do mean something. We'll find that out as we study the book of Isaiah. As best we know, he lived in Jerusalem where he prophesied. We don't know what his occupation was. It's speculated that he was a priest. Character-wise, he was much more sympathetic than Amos. I don't remember when we studied Amos. It was over a year ago, but Amos was harsh on the people that he preached to. Not so with Isaiah. And the date that he prophesied was in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. All those were kings of Judah. That was from 790 to 735 B.C., approximately. Okay. And by the way, that's all in the very first chapter. Chapter 1. Chapter 1 in the first verse. Okay, this is also on your handout too. Isaiah was God's spokesman to Judah and Jerusalem at the time when the nation was immersed in sin. He spoke God's indictment against their sins, urging them to repent. He then foretold destruction on them if they did not return to God. That was his main mission. That was the main mission why God sent him to preach, sent him to prophesize, urge the people to repent. But he also did prophesy many other things as well. The next paragraph. In the midst of all these dire warnings, Isaiah also foretold of a bright future with the coming Messiah. God would not forget his covenant made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David. He would spare a remnant of the nation of Israel, out of which would come the Messiah and his new kingdom. We said earlier, he's called the Messianic prophet. Okay, a little geography. This map is found in your handouts. And you need to become familiar with where Judah is, the northern kingdom of Israel. See if I can get this pointer to work. There it is, okay. This is Judah, the brown country. And Jerusalem is right in the middle. Okay. This blue part was the northern kingdom, kingdom of Israel. Okay. And we'll be reading about, some about it. Up here is Syria. It says Kingdom of Aram, Damascus is also called Syria. And another country that we'll read quite a bit, and it's almost off the map, this up here, the Assyrian Empire. Okay. Become familiar with where those countries are. Okay. By the way, the Gaza Strip that you hear about today, see where that red area is? That's where Gaza is. Okay. And there's actually a city on the map called Gaza. Okay. All right, so we'll be looking at the map quite often. I said Assyria, look up on the board and look at this map. Okay. Judah and Israel are down here, small countries. The green was all the Assyria Empire at that time, all that green area. Okay. Later on we'll read about Babylonia, which conquered and destroyed Assyria. And then the Medes, Persians and Medes, they destroyed Babylonia. All God, as God prophesied, he had Isaiah prophesize all that, and it came about. Okay. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but and this is an amazing fact, he prophesied to three different periods. His period, the Assyrians, he prophesied about the Babylonians, and he prophesied about the destruction of the Babylonians by the Persian Medes. Okay. You can find all that in the book of Isaiah. Yes?
Palestine now.
Where's Palestine? See where Jerusalem is right here? And Judah? It was not called Palestine at that time. It's called Judah. But that's where it is. And it was just a small part of the Assyrian Empire. Okay. Later on, during Christ's time, is when it was called Palestine. I got another interesting map. This is what it looks like today, how it's carved up today in the Syrian Empire. Okay, you can see Iran, Iraq, Syria, and where Israel is today on that map. You will not be tested on any of this. Okay. All right. Any questions about the maps? Yes.
Go back to this map that shows where Babylon
is. Pardon me?
Could you go back to this map and show us where Babylon is?
Okay. It's actually off that map, but yeah, I'll go back. Okay. Babylon would be way over here. See where Assyria is? Okay. Assyria was right next to Babylon. Okay, you see Babylon, Babylonia on that map. And your map is just this part right here. Okay. And whereas the Assyrian Empire, it was huge, and it was all that green part. Babylonia over here, and then Babylonia was conquered by the Medes, which is this area here. Conquered and destroyed by the Medes. Now look on the back of your handout. This is you got a timeline. This is a timeline, and I know it's can when you first look at it, it's going to kind of be overwhelming. But the key to understanding it is to look at the key. This right here. Okay, I get the top line. It has years, and that's years before Christ. So the very black line at the top is years. And as you can see, they decrease as you go across. And then it starts over right here. This line, this year is the same as that year. And they decrease years before Christ. Okay, the red is, what is the red? Can't read that from here. That's nations, and that's their kings of the nations around Israel. That's what this red is. And it'll be kings of Assyria, and then later on kings of Babylonia and kings of Persia. So that's all that red. The yellow, kings of the northern kingdom. Okay, remember, you may remember Jeroboam. He was their first king. And then they had several kings. And then notice that the yellow line stops right there. And that's when the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom. And there was no more. It was done away with. All the northern kingdom, all the Israelites of the northern kingdom were carried away into captivity. Okay, that's at the end of that yellow line. Okay, in the middle is the prophets, all the different prophets. Okay, the green is the kings of Judah. And notice it continues on to the next line. And there's where Judah was conquered by the Babylonians. They were carried away into captivity, And then here's where they're returned to Jerusalem and Judah. This part here. Okay, do you find Isaiah on that timeline? Everyone see Isaiah on the timeline? Right there. Okay. So he prophesies around 750 BC to 690 BC. Am I right? Yeah. Everyone see that? Okay, I'll show you again. Right there is Isaiah. Here's the years. So that's the timeline he prophesies. From there to there. And this is the kings of Judah. Okay. Where's Uzziah? Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Right there. Everyone follow that? Got anybody confused? Okay. Now, like I say, what's interesting is that this is when Isaiah prophesies, but he prophesies not only about his period, but he prophesies about when the Babylonians conquered Judah and destroyed it. And he prophesied about this period over here as well. And God told him what to tell the people about those periods. And of course, he prophesied about Christ. All those different periods. You'll see that in his book. Okay, questions about the timeline? Okay, next slide. This is on your handout. Two major themes throughout the book. First, to trust in the Holy One of Israel. Exhortation to trust in the Holy One of Israel. Faith in the Lord with sure forgiveness for the transgressions, deliverance of their enemies. Okay. Where I'm reading is on the second page, or on the back of the first page. Okay. Okay. Where it says Isaiah the book. Okay. All right. Secondly, the Messiah to come, the glory of his age. Another dominant message. Isaiah spoke frequently of the events to come, foretelling the fall of the heathen nations, the establishment of the kingdom of the Messiah, and who would rule in justice and righteousness. Okay. It's got one reference there of Isaiah 2. There will be several other references in the book. Okay, the next thing on your outline is the next thing on your handout is an outline of the book. This quarter, we're just going to cover the first 39 chapters. And then later on, we'll pick up the rest of the book. Maybe this winter, God willing. Okay. First 39 chapters, which deal with the Assyrian period, but there will also be many prophecies about Christ. Chapters 1 through 39. Yeah.
Is this the time when I don't know which tribe it was, but anyway, they wanted a king. like the other people had.
Uh-huh.
They chose Saul, then David. Now, is it along about this time?
This is actually much later. It's much later? Okay. Look at your handout again. This timeline. David is, he's off of it. Solomon is right here.
Okay.
Solomon's right here. And remember the northern kingdom? They did not like Jeroboam when he became king. So they separated and formed their own kingdom. That's the yellow kings. The kings in yellow. So it's much further on down the line. Okay. Other questions? Okay, let's get into the book then. Let's get into that very first chapter. This is probably the most in-depth we will study of one chapter. Okay. You can read it up there on the slide, or you can look in your Bible. The very first chapter, and we're going to read the first 9 verses. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, all kings of Judah. Hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its own manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of vile doers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turn their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with olive oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. Daughter Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in cucumber field, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Okay? All right, let's talk about that part. The first verse, we pretty well summarized it already. We know that this is Isaiah speaking. He's talking about Judah and Jerusalem. This was what his vision was about. And it was during the time of those four kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. Okay, now in the next few verses, what is he telling them? What is he saying to the people? What has God told Isaiah to say to the people? You You are a sinful nation, aren't you? Isn't that what he's saying? You are a very sinful nation. You are a very rebellious people. Okay. You have not done as I've told you over the past three or 400 years. Back in the days of Moses, I told you you need to do these things, and you have not. Notice that he makes reference to a donkey. And the donkey, it knows what its manager wants, what its owner wants, It knows how to respond to its master. The people of Israel, they did not do that. They were worse off than a donkey. Okay. Notice verse 4. Woe to the sinful nation. People corrupt, guilty, vile doers. The last part of that verse 5. Turn their backs on him. They've turned their backs on God. Many of them were worshiping idols at that time. And Isaiah asks, why? Why are you doing this? Why do you continue to do this? And then he compares them to a human body that's been beaten in his sword, has many sores, many wounds. And it's all because they've been sinful. Turned away from God. Your country is desolate, he says in verse 7. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners. The foreigners is the Assyrian nation, we'll find out a little later. The Assyrian nation. Daughter Zion is left like a shelter. Look at verse 9. Here's a key verse here. Verse 9. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? God destroyed them, didn't they? They were destroyed. They were burned up. And here God spared Judah because there was a few of them that still trusted in the Lord, still obeyed the Lord. Otherwise, they'd been just as guilty, just as rebellious as Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, let's go on to next 6 verses, 10 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instructions of God, you people of Gomorrah. So he's actually calling them Sodom and Gomorrah, isn't he? Okay. You have become like that, so he's calling them Sodom and Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and of the fat of the fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of the bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feast and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Excuse Excuse me. Isaiah's talking about the things that we're doing in worship, isn't he? What they were required to do as part of their worship. Moses had told them to do these things. But how does the Lord feel about them? What is the Lord's reaction to them? He's not happy at all, is he? Yeah, the Lord is disgusted with him. Disgusted with him, okay? Why do you suppose he's disgusted with him? They're rebellious people. What else can we, do you think, is a reason why God is disgusted with them?
It's false, pious worship.
Okay, yeah. By that you mean they were just doing it, but really didn't have their heart in it?
Ceremonies.
Yeah, yeah. They were doing all the ceremonies, but they really weren't. There was no heart in it. They were just doing it because they thought it would please the Lord. Okay. What's interesting, we know from history, and you can read this in 2 Kings as well, they were actually worshiping other gods at the same time that they were worshiping the God. Same time that they're worshiping the Lord. Okay. So the Lord was not happy with them. Not happy with their worship. Not happy with where they were doing it, as it says in one verse. Verse 12, when you come before me, who has asked you? This trampling's on my course. He was not happy with where they were actually worshiping. That part right there. And worst of all, they would do this worship, and then they would go after that and do sinful, wicked things. Putting the poor in prison, taking their land. We'll read about some of the things that they did. They had become a very wicked country. So as he says in verse 13, your offerings are meaningless. Your incense is detestable. Okay. I cannot stand it. Stop doing this. It's worthless to me. Doesn't mean a thing to me. And as it says in verse 15, he would not answer their prayers. They could pray all they wanted, he would not listen. Okay. Okay, verse 16. Let's read 16 through 20 next. Wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Okay. What's the main message there? Repent. Repent. Repent right now. Change your ways. If you do so, things will be much better for you. Okay. Notice what he says in verse 17. Learn to do right. Seek justice. defend the oppressed. All those things they were not doing. That was just the opposite of what they were doing. They didn't take up the cause of the fatherless, the orphans. They weren't taking care of the orphans. They weren't taking care of the widows. Were not taking care of the poor. In fact, they were dealing harshly with the poor at that time. So that's his main message. Repent. Change. Change your ways. Okay. All right, very quickly, I want you to see this next part. If they would do that, if they would change, see what he says in verse 21. Well, he's still condemning them, but he's going to tell them what will happen. See how the faithful city has become a prostitute. You were once full of justice, righteousness. You used to dwell in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your choice wine is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, partners with thieves. They all love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them. Therefore, the Lord Almighty, the One of Israel, declares, I will vent my wrath on my foes and avenge myself on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. I will restore your leaders as in days of old, your rulers at the beginning. Afterwards, you will be called the city of righteousness. Faithful city. Zion will be delivered from justice. Her penitent ones with righteousness. Okay, let me stop there. Okay, so God is going to get rid of all the bad, right? All the evil. All those who are committing sinful wrongs, he's going to destroy. And that does happen during the days of Babylon. Okay, it's going to come about. Just as Isaiah prophesies. Those who repent, though, they'll be saved. They will be saved and they will keep on the nation of Judah. Okay. All right, for next time, we're going to move much faster. That is in what we're going to cover. We're going to cover chapters 2 through 4 next time. Read chapters 2 through 4. If you want to read more historical background, you can go to 2 Kings 14 through 20. Again, 2 Kings 14 through 20. And you'll be able to read about the kings of Judah and the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 14 through 20. Okay. And in Isaiah, next week we'll talk about chapters 2, 3, and 4. Okay. We'll be covering more ground next week. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you for your attention this morning.